Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Italy, March 2020. The plague, the pandemic, the virus. It's in Italy, it's in the United States. And in response, Italy locks down. But I welcome Beppe Severnini. He is a columnist at Corriere della Sera, but he's also the author of a new book, Italian Lessons, 50 Things We Know About Life Now, After the Pandemic, During the Pandemic, reflecting upon hundreds of years, thousands of years in Italy. Beppe, congratulations and good evening. I take you to a moment in March of 2020 when you were looking down from your office and crossing the Piazza Duomo in your town, hometown Crema. You inadvertently or on purpose or serendipitously pushed open the side door of your cathedral, Duomo di Crema, and inside was one worshiper and then a crucifix that you date to the 13th century. What does that crucifix represent to the people of Crema? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, thank you for starting with an image and a symbol, and it's also a piece of art, but it's part of our life and it's been part of the life of people in Crema for centuries. It's a crucifix, and it's got a story attached to it. And back in 1448, can you imagine, the crucifix is older than that, but in 1448, some soldiers were besieged in the cathedral and tried to set fire to it in hopes of, you know, getting warm. And the crucifix supposedly pulled up its leg, assuming its present day position. And it's a legend, okay, but it's something that Crema people, not only people necessarily too religious, attach a lot of affection to. And when in times of trouble, people in Crema tend to refer to the crucifix. So it was a terrible time at the time in Crema. And because the virus, the COVID started in China, we all know about it. Not many people know that the first place in Europe and in the Western world where it struck was my area, was southern Lombardy, was Codogno, Crema, Lodi, Cremona. And so it was devastating. You know, I could hear ambulances every day, all day. And in my office, which is right on the Piazza del Duomo, it was completely empty. We were not allowed to go out. I could walk to my office. I'm a journalist, and I could walk back home. It's like it's probably half a mile or less. And I decided, I don't know why, to push the church door. I've been there many times. My baptism was there. You know, my life happened. It's very familiar to me. But I decided, let's see. Maybe I needed some comfort too. And I walked in, and it was empty, apart from one person standing in front of the crucifix. And this crucifix is so important to us because our ancestors prayed to it during the plague of 1630. There was in a famous book in Italy by Alessandro Manzoni, is described, was a tremendous plague, and again in 1747. And so every time there is this tragedy, you could not imagine that we had to talk, you know, like a plague in the 21st century. But we did, and the crucifix is there to help us. And so I walked in, stayed there. This person didn't look at me. I didn't look closely at her, in silence, and then I walked out.
It's wonderful to discover right away that your city, Crema, has skills that we lack in the young America. We don't have 18th century or 17th century plagues to pray to a crucifix from a 13th century. It reminded me right away that you've been through all of this many times before. So let's use the 21st century example. In several centuries from now, they'll reflect back upon it. What happens is the army shows up and a Cuban military, Cuban medical team shows up. Those were in the early days. And where did they position themselves? In your hospital? How was it stationed?
Well, they arrived and they positioned themselves right outside the Crema Hospital. The Crema Hospital was in serious trouble. It couldn't cope. It was like a lot of doctors who have fallen ill. I know quite a few of them. So, and they just couldn't cope. Everything was devoted to COVID, and people were keep coming and coming and coming, and some made it, some didn't make it. And the whole thing was something I never seen in my life. In hospital, giving up. Too much pressure. And so a group of Cuban doctors and nurses came over, and they did help, and the Italian army built a field hospital, and that was, they did it in 3 days. I was very impressed. And it was enough to take away some of the pressure on the hospital. And again, it's very close to me. As a journalist, I could go out, take my bicycle, and talk to the doctors, talk to this Cuban guest. The whole thing is, it was like out of a movie. I've been a special correspondent all my life. I've been, I don't know how many times in the States. I've been in Russia many times, in China, in the Middle East. Okay, I'm used to stressful situation, but to see all this in front of my eyes, you know, next to my door, to my life, to my office, to my family, was something I thought I would never experience.
And yet the Italians in Crema, this is outside of Milan, about 30 miles is my guesstimate. I don't know it in kilometers. The Italians adapt right away, because in that square where Beppe was walking to the cathedral, Piazza Duomo, were all the markets and stalls and stores that people frequent every day in their lives. And yet, Beppe, you described looking out the window of your office and it was empty. How did they adapt? How did people feed themselves? How did they get medicines in the coming months of the lockdown?
Well, Italy has got a series of, let's call them network, family network, friends network, volunteers, sort of association, and everything. It's they've nothing to do with the state. The state was very busy trying to contain the virus, to organize the hospital, but people decided that we should help each other. And it's interesting because Italians don't really like regulations of any kind, let alone stay at home, don't go out, don't see other people. It's offensive. I remember to tell an Italian to stay on his own and don't mix with other people. We love to mingle. We love to talk, to chat, to meet, to embrace, to touch. Our senses are important in Italy, probably more so than in many other European countries. I'm not exaggerating it. I say that the lockdown to us was more of a shock than, let's say, some northern Finland, where they live their life quite afar from each other on a regular basis. Not us. For us, it was like shocking. But when we realized that it made sense to listen to the government and stay at home and avoid contacts and be extremely careful, we respected the rule, which, believe me, is pretty extraordinary in Italy. And to answer your question, people decided there were people weaker that needed to be helped. Like, I don't know a single old person in Crema who was left on his or her own and didn't have food or anything, because young people, less vulnerable and to the virus and well protected, they would make sure they will bring food or medicines or tests or other things. It was quite impressive. It was like Italy's society at its best. Didn't last long. We started quarreling after a few weeks. But for 2 months, it was like magic. It was like the dream, a dreamlike society. Something, you know, Tocqueville would have loved to watch a society in a moment like this.
The book is Italian Lessons, 50 Things We Know About Life Now. Beppe Severnini is the author. We're going to meet the Severnini clan when we come back because our author likes paintings with green in it. Why? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.